sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends in the risen Christ, grace to you and peace from God. Amen. When our daughter Katie was a little older than a toddler and really starting to talk, there was a phrase that she said often. I do it myself. I do it myself. At mealtimes, Katie, do you want me to scoop this? I do it myself. At bath times, do you want me to turn the water? I do it myself. With an art project, maybe I could help you. I do it myself. I should even interrupt. Or our favorite, that I remember, her getting dressed for preschool in the morning, putting together outfits. Our trying to get involved was often futile. Look, Katie, like that. I do it myself. Not much has changed. I'm not talking about Katie, though. As we all grow into adulthood, sometimes we get even more obstinate. How we can be stubborn and stuck, headstrong, determined, single-minded, going it alone, and unwilling to accept help. How we too can in so many ways in our lives, regardless of our age, say, like little Katie, I do it myself. The Apostle Peter shows this today when he says, I'm going fishing. It's a little like him saying that same thing, I do it myself. Now, the disciples, the text says, go with him. They join him. But it's almost like they're all going obstinate. Like, yeah, I do it myself too. I do it me too. We'll all go do it ourselves. Let's go fishing. There's also a tone of resignation in that declaration in our gospel text for today from John. I'm going fishing. Almost starts to sound like I'm all out of ideas. I don't know what else to do. I guess that's it. Back to what I know. This is after the resurrection, by the way. This is after Jesus has risen from the dead, the wonderful scene at the open tomb, Jesus appearing to his disciples in the upper room, the story of Thomas that we had last week. After all that, we have this text here today, chapter immediately following. Peter, I don't know. I'm all out of ideas. I don't know what else to do. I guess that's it. Back to what I know. What is that defeated, I'm going fishing for you? What is it? Who is it that you keep going back to when you're all out of inspiration, creativity, hope? Sometimes it's right in the middle of inspiration all around. I mean, Peter, he's washed up here in this text after all that he had been through during Holy Week, Easter morning, Jesus appearing from behind the locked doors, still back to the sea here today, back to fishing. What is that for you? What do you always go back to? I do it myself. Maybe some friends join you. Enter Jesus again. Enter Jesus again. He doesn't stop appearing in flesh and blood ways, with smoky fish on the fire, with hands and feet and side to touch, with words of greeting and peace, breath, invitation, images, friends, this Easter season that knock us off our horses and call us out of our same old routines. Enter Jesus again. We can be stubborn people, stuck in our ways, unwilling to do it any other way except I do it myself. And yet, Jesus just keeps showing up, beckoning you to follow, taking you where you do not wish to go. This is what Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, really means. It means that someone's going to fasten a belt around us and pull us in a new direction. Saul, in our second lesson from the book of Acts, was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. That's where this text starts. For Peter and the others, I'm just painting a picture of resignation from the Gospel of John. You know, just like, I don't know what else to do. Let's just go back to the way it was. For Saul, on the other hand, oh my goodness, he was caught up in the emotions and the reactivity, a broken past, a dangerous zeal for a certain future that only leads to violence, oppression, division, and death. Our texts today are clearly not just about getting inspired. Saul was inspired, but toward what? Toward squashing and silencing and isolating. I do it myself. There it is again. I do it myself. Enter Jesus again. From the text, he was going along, approaching Damascus. Suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told there what you are to do." Word of God, word of life, we said today. Thanks be to God. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, Saul." Who, by the way, Saul, this Saul becomes Paul, you know. Paul, who wrote most of the books of the New Testament, some dating earlier than even the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and certainly John. This is Paul, whose good news was discovered in the flickering light of a medieval candle, and again by Martin Luther, sparking the entire Protestant Reformation. We are saved by grace through faith apart from our works on account of Jesus Christ. Saul is Paul. Friends in Christ, clearly, we cannot. I do it myself. Clearly, we cannot do it myself. Clearly, someone else has to show up here. Enter Jesus again. In the bread and the wine at this table, in the water at this font, regular old stuff of the earth, like fishing, like going to work or school, earning ends meet, like going back home now, back to your life, your friends, your coworkers, your family members, but with someone cooking breakfast for you now and repeating over and over, showing up again and again, calling you to love my people, Jesus says. Love my people, all of them. Watch over my planet, all of it. Care for yourself too, Jesus says. This is not where we always want to go, but Jesus wraps that belt around us, all of us, binds us together with cords that cannot be broken, feeds us with this holy breakfast, bread and wine, body and blood, and sends us out to live and finally even to die glorifying him. Since Easter Sunday, here at Bethlehem, we have commended to God two exceptional women. Right here in this space, Sion Tesfaye and Carol Steinhardt, Shelley Stahl's mom. Right here, their bodies, their cremains, we lifted them up and said, take them, God. Thank you for giving them to us to know and to love in our earthly pilgrimage. Help us now to entrust them to your eternal embrace and care for one another in our grief. The words shared about both of them, two consecutive Saturdays, those words, love, 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 that's what they were all about. How they each loved so clearly God's people, all of them, every single sheep. How they cared for their own bodies too, took care of themselves, lived these full lives. How they watched over God's planet, God's earth. They lived and died glorifying God. And so shall we, friends, live and die glorifying God. Looks a little different for each of us, but this is our call. This is Christ's work. It's in his name, Jesus' name, the one who shows up again and again, in Jesus' name, who breaks into our I do it myself, who holds us, forgives us, who loves us right this second, and will never stop loving us, who is with us now, feeding us and breathing peace. It is in his name that we worship and pray and live and die. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.